Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shalom Bayis Shir number 471. Like we mentioned many times, there is a lot of confusion regarding the topic of Ayna. And a lot of reasons why it's not taught well is because people haven't figured out what Shalom Bayis actually is. For example, if the Chassan and Kala instructor assumes that Shalom Bayis is defined as a home in which two partners live, try to get along without fighting, then the mitzvah of intimate relationship aspects, oina, is meaningless. If feelings of love and a deeper connection between the couple does not exist, so other than having some physical pleasure, what's the purpose of engaging in this physical act? So they believe it's sort of a necessary, what can you do? But they don't really place any value in it if they feel that way. And the confusion is what some of these instructors feel, what leads them to ultimate ideas in how they present this mitzvah. So to persuade their students to undertake an act that had till now been not familiar to them, they resort to all these different types of methods. Either they go into deep Kabbalah aspects about why the physical union is important, or they go into just practically how to feed each other's physical desires. But once one understands what ideal Shalom Bayis is, what is it? It's defined by the existence of the closest possible feelings that a husband and wife could have for each other, then everything becomes clear. Because when you internalize that idea, then the focus of marriage is to build a deep relationship between a husband and a wife. Belave of a nefesh with their heart and soul. Then you begin to understand what Ayna really means. It exclusively is the closest physical and emotional union possible. That's the only way how it can be manifested and expressed in this world. By the mitzvahs Ayna. Some people call this shiur like the last shiur. The last shiur is the code name of how many people talk about that. They're going to talk about this subject, the very last shiur, before they get married. And the truth is that the closeness and the warm feelings is the main purpose of this. And you cannot give over this concept without first explaining what does it mean to have a loving relationship with one spouse. And when you have that, then they could understand what this shiur is about. It's a stepping stone or a foundation even of solid Shalom Bayis, if that's the goal. So if they have the goal in mind that it's the purpose is to create the closest physical and emotional union possible, then that quote unquote last shiur comes into place. Now he brings down, there's going to be Torah sources based on many different svarim. One is called Mishkan Yisrael by someone, Rabbi Schlanger, who brings a lot of Maror Mekoymis. There's a shorter version called Oyel Rochel about this. There's a sefer that came out recently in English, Binyan Bayis, by Rav Moshe Aaron Shuchatowitz. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. And that has haskamas from Shmuel Orbach, Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Aaron Feldman. And that one, Be'ez Hashem, we will either go over in these series or in the Panini Group series. And a lot of what we're going to say will be based on that. The idea of the emotions and feelings coming naturally. Sometimes it may not come so naturally. People have different likes, different dislikes, different preferences. And intimacy, the intimate relations, is unique for each couple. And a husband and wife for themselves, each one individually, needs to figure out for themselves what works for them as a couple. And that also helps greatly. The key behind this, before we even start talking about this subject in detail, is the idea of balance. Torah being the middle way. You have Avram towards kindness, and Yitzchak towards discipline, seemingly two opposites, although they really weren't, and Yaakov blending the two. Torah being in the middle. Not too much to the right, not too much to the left. Balance. Balance is always the key. People make a mistake. They think balance is pariv. Pariv means nishtahin, nishtaher. You know, not too hot, not too cold. They place lack of importance to balance. But that is false. You see, when you are in the middle road because you don't, you know, you're just a chicken. I don't know if I should go this way or that way. Oh, I'll play it safe. I'll go in the middle. Then you're right. Then it's a weakness. But when you're going in the middle path because of a specific purpose, because Torah is Darkei Noyam, is the way of pleasantness. Torah is the Derech HaMemutza, the middle road. So then it is a strength. And that is the concept. Everything has its time and place according to Torah. There's no such thing as good and bad inherently. Salt is very, very good. In large measure, not. It'll kill the food. But in smaller measures, it's very, very good. Is water a good thing? Of course water is a good thing, right? Without water, you can't survive. But water could be dangerous. People lost their lives in water. Fire. Fire a good thing? Of course it's a good thing. You could heat homes with it. You could cook food with it. But if used irresponsibly, you could burn a house down. Forest fires. People died because of fires. Food, the same thing. You don't eat enough, you could get sick. You could starve. Overeating could make one sick as well. So what's it about? Healthy balance. Eating, is it a mitzvah or aveira? Depends. Erev Yom Kippur, mitzvah to eat. A day later, it's a great aveira to eat. Tainus Esther, you're not supposed to eat for those who are able to fast. Purim, mitzvah to eat. So it's a balance timing issue. That's Torah. Same thing holds with our daily lives. And same thing holds with physical intimacy between a husband and a wife. Basically, it depends on the right time and the right place. And in the right time and in the right place is the most beautiful thing. And when it's out of balance, it could become damaging. So one has to be careful pertaining to that. He mentions, like we mentioned, this is not halacha shir. I sometimes bring things down, sort of, but always rely on a halachic authority. Most of the people, when they ask different questions, the answer really is some Rabbanim will say fine, some Rabbanim will say it's not fine. And you have to follow the derech of your Rav, ideally. So it's impossible not to mention any halachic aspects. But it's not a halacha psak. Again, we mentioned many times that the shiurim don't take place of asking a Rav or having a Rav, or in some cases having a mentor in your real life. Rashi says, on the words Matoivu Ayhalecha Yaakov, that Bilam said this because he saw the Jewish homes were separated from each other for privacy, that their entrances were not parallel to each other, so that it conceals the inside of the home from their view. Al Shara Pischem She'ena Mechuvanei Smuzeh Mul Azeh, their entrances were not aligned with one another. From Baba Basra, the Chasamach Aleph Amid Aleph, right? He saw. He lifted up his eyes. He said, "Bilam Zainav, Layaris Yisrael Sheichen Leshvata, dwelled in its with its tribes." What did he see? He saw Shein Pischeim Aleihem Mechuvanim Zelazeh. The Amar, so Bilam realized, Royu Halalu Shetisha Aleihem Shchina. It's right that Shchina comes on them. That act of tznius is the source of the bracha. And therefore, even with these shiurim, it's on one hand, you know, people have to know about it. That's why these shiurim are given and others of the like. On the other hand, it's a balance. One has to be responsible with that information. The idea of tznius, by the way, when it says that the entrances were not near open to towards each other, it aligns with also not being jealous or not recognizing that what's yours is yours and what someone else's is someone else's and doesn't mix with each other. In other words, if their entrances would have been aligned with one another, seeing what the other one has or is doing, that would decrease the blessing in your own home. This is what people don't realize. What people don't realize is Hashem will shower more bracha on your home and in your marriage when you don't look at other people's homes and marriages in this comparison game type of thing, or else ayin hara or kinna or jealousy. You may think it's for the right reasons, but if it's not for the right reasons. And therefore, it's best to not align the entrances. Be happy with your own lot. If there are things that need to be worked through in your own life, you ask Hashem for help. And he gives you that smart siyata d'shmaya. Now, the first thing he talks about, which we mentioned we had in the Sunday Shiur, and we had a particular letter that was written at about nine Shiurim Sundays, going through a letter. And he addresses it in that letter. We addressed it in other aspects. One of the most difficult parts of teaching chasanim and kalas and preparing them for the chasana and for married life, and creates a lot of trepidation, actually, really pachad, and a lot of confusion, is as they get closer to the wedding, they get very confused about the contradiction of what they were taught till then versus what they're being taught now. For example, throughout the yeshiva years, boys were educated in Shmir Seinayim, watch your eyes. Shmir Samachshava, watch your thoughts. Part of that is that you remove from yourself any type of imagery of feelings of affection between a male and a female, a husband and a wife, a man to a woman. That any acts of affection, displays of affection, is something that us Jews have nothing to do with. I know intellectually they realize, they learn things over the years to realize it is not so, but you're not growing up that way. Therefore, this whole subject matter of a relationship between a husband and a wife, or a man and a woman, is offensive or taboo in this bacher's mind. And then all of a sudden, right before the chasana, they realize that the married life entails these taboo acts, to do actually these things, these acts that till now they were told, it's disgusting, it's demeaning, it's the opposite of Kedusha, it'll mess up your life. And here, you're about to be married and you're supposed to do these things and be really happy to do these things and being involved in it and being happy to have this, those feelings and those physical, hormonal aspects leading to that, permits aina, and now all of a sudden it's a good thing, and they can't wrap their heads around it. And it troubles many girls as well. You were told constantly about tznius, and you learn halachas and hashkafas about tznius, and all of a sudden you realize here you're being told that it's important and healthy and good to engage in acts, not just to have children, but also in the aina marital relationship itself, to engage in these physical acts, even wearing nice underwear lingerie for their husbands and whatever else, not going to get into the graphic aspects of this. And it's traumatizing because you're being told the opposite, act in an opposite way, so to speak, of what you were told till now by doing these things. It's terrible, it's horrific, it's not good, it's a lack of, it's the opposite of tznius, it's, and it creates such a trauma that when it hits their wedding night, if they're not taught the right way, they become very, very confused, even afraid, and, or worse, even traumatized, or even more so, like, dead in themselves. Why dead? Because when you feel perplexed and dread, it causes a person to suppress their emotions, sometimes even shut down. That's the brain's defense mechanism. A chassan or a kala shuts down this way, and they have difficulty actively getting involved in this mitzvah aina, or being emotionally present during the mitzvah aina. It's a mental shutdown. It's very, very common by erlicha boys and girls, because of the way it was taught or the way it was brought out in the earlier years. We went through this, and it's a controversial subject. It's not so simple of how much you do say about these in Yanim in the ages when you're 14, 15, 16, and so on, how to deal with it. Some people feel that you basically have to say that it's emphatically prohibited, because otherwise you won't have the tools to fight against the Yetzer Hara, that strives to throw you into these things. So instead, it's easier simply to say, block it out of your head, it's all negative, and you don't talk about the positive aspects of a physical ayna potentially in those years. You're not getting married anyway, so what's the point? Just block it out of your head, it's a bad thing, and move on. Others feel, and I seem to be lining that way, that no, that with the right hadracha, you could explain to even a 14, 15, 16-year-old that it has a tayeles, just have to channel it, and it won't affect them negatively. It'll even be beneficial. But the idea being is to switch gears. If you were taught it as a negative thing, that it took away from your ruchnius, what's going to happen now is, by the way, if you have a boy that felt that any sexual feeling they had as a teenager or pre-marriage negatively affects their spirituality, and now with one's wife, it's natural to have those sexual feelings, especially when it comes to engaging it in mitzvahs only where you're supposed to have those sexual feelings. But even in general, it's likely normal to happen. If the boy has in his mind that this brings down your avodas Hashem, there'll be a negativity towards one's wife sooner or later. And we know that it's supposed to be the opposite. It's a mitzvah. Once it's a mitzvah, it falls into the category, like Shlomo David HaMelech himself said in Tehillim, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Tes, Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Misamchei Lev. The Pekudim, the dictates of Hashem, are right, Misamchei Lev, bringing joy to the heart. Now, when people say the Simchas Torah, Pekudei Hashem Yisharim, they're thinking about mitzvahs like Tefillin, like mezuzah, like Talmud Torah. It's that they learn Torah. It's straight and it brings joy to the heart. You're serving Hashem. We're sitting in a sukkah, or keeping Shabbos, Archanosis Archim, Nisamchei Lev. People don't align it with Aina. Aina is a mitzvah like anything else. It's supposed to be, it's Yesharim, it is straight. And it's Misamchei Lev. It brings joy to the heart when done the right way. The problem is lack of clarity continues way into marriage, years later, decades later, with this confusion and doubts. And that's another purpose of these type of shiurim. Ein simcha kataras asveikas. There's nothing more joyous than becoming clear from all these doubts. And that is another purpose of the shiurim. That can help not just people going into marriage, but people that are already married for decades even, to reframe their thoughts about these things and to bring couples closer together. Bracha v'atzlacha.